Good afternoon. It is a good afternoon. Sabbath is a good day to celebrate freedom. Mike's free. We're here. We're here because, as Mike's friends, as Mike's brothers and sisters, because the Lord Jesus Christ, who is Mike Austin's Savior and best friend, has welcomed Mike into the joys of heaven. Mike loved Jesus so much because Jesus loved Mike first and best. So now Mike gets to worship his Lord face to face with upraised arms and in hearty song. And here on earth, Jesus welcomes all of us whose lives Mike has touched in so many ways to join in worship, in remembering, and in singing, and in receiving the comfort of God's gracious promises through his word. Our hearts have been prepared for this time by Bluegrass Hardware, dear brothers and sisters in our own congregation, and Mike loved to hear them sing, especially when they led us in worship. So we just thought that was the best way, the Austins thought, to start our time together. So thank you, Bluegrass Hardware. Now, hear the word of the Lord Jesus. I am the resurrection and I am the life, says the Lord. Whoever has faith in me shall have life, even though he die. And everyone who has life and has committed himself to me in faith shall not die forever. And Job says, as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives and that at the last he will stand on the earth. After my awaking, he will raise me up, and in my body I shall see God. I myself shall see. My eyes will behold him who is my friend and not a stranger. And the Apostle Paul tells us, none of us has life in himself, and none becomes his own master when he dies. For if we have life, we are alive in the Lord. And if we die, we die in the Lord. So then, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's possession. And the Lord says through the prophet Isaiah, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the heavens, of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. O God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you are the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. In the face of death, we have no one to turn to but you and your Son Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life, and your strong and tender Holy Spirit, the ever-present help and comforter, one God in three persons, the God who is for us. And so we come. We come asking that you will pour out your comfort and your hope and even joy into grieving hearts. And we come with thanksgiving. Father, we thank you for Mike, for his joy, his humor, his trust in you, his compassion for other people, his love for Jesus, his delight in singing the praises of Jesus. Thank you for Mike. Thank you, Father, for the grace that you've given to David and Jane and others in the family as well, but especially David and Jane, to walk with Mike through his homegoing. Your grace sustaining them step by step. Father, thank you most of all for Jesus, who loves us all in all our disabilities and brokenness, who embraces all who trust in him with a love that can never be broken. Jesus, who came to us, who touched us, who took upon himself our sorrows and died our death, and gives us his wholeness and his resurrection life forever. Father, thank you for Jesus, who has drawn the sting out of death, who has defeated the last enemy already, so we share in his victory. Father, thank you for Jesus, who brought us into your family and who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now let's stand together and sing to God's praise, "How Great Thou Art," verses 1, 2, and 4.
The very first thing I want to do is I would be remiss as David's sister, Jane's sister-in-law, to not thank them. Our family is so aware of everything that they did. The love that they poured out on Mike was absolutely incredible. And I know that you as a church did as well, and I thank you for that. I can just see him sitting back there taking notes, keeping score between God and Satan. And guess what? Guess who won? About 40 years ago, God allowed us to walk through the valley of the shadow of death with Mike. Mike and Mom had been in the States shortly after Bob and I got married, and they returned to Quito, and Mike immediately attended every basketball game he could, and he became seriously ill with pulmonary edema. He was in ICU, and the medical doctors told my mom, you need to prepare yourself. It's very likely that Mike is not going to make it. David flew down. Within a few days, Mike was out of ICU. He had had a stroke. Mike did not always stutter. But after that stroke, he, as you all know, he stuttered quite a bit. But sometimes we just had to interpret for him or guess what he was saying. Well, when Mike started to recover, I said to him, Mike, we thought that Jesus was going to take you home. And he said to us, the Lord came to me and said, get up and get going. We have absolutely no doubt in our minds that that is what happened. Mike had an incredible spiritual insight. And so God gave us 43 more years with Mike. And for that, we thank him. They have been 63 incredible years. Lots of laughter, lots of joy, and now tears. But we know without a shadow of a doubt that he's running and laughing in heaven. I have a friend that said, Mike is probably leading worship. And I said, yeah, and now he has perfect pitch.
My brother and I came before the Lord. The Lord said to me, praise me. If the language of angels will not suffice to praise you, from what language will I borrow words that will do you credit? And there was silence. Until the Lord said to me, sing to me. I replied, my voice will crack and squawk beyond the third pitch. And there was silence. Then the Lord said, pick up the flute and play for me. I hung my head. My fingers are as good as broken. They are not deft enough to play for you. The sound will not please. And there was silence. Then God turned to my brother, who all the while silently fingered his imaginary flute, and before God spoke, my brother raised his stubby fingers wide and high above his head and sang in monotone, Father, Abba, Father. I fell on my face as all of heaven burst forth in joyous refrain, our God is praised. I was silenced. With shame, I prayed my excuses. I did not have the words or the voice or the talent. God said, none was required of you. What did you require of me? And Jesus, thorn-wounded brow, feet and hands nail-pierced, pointed to my brother, such as I gave, he gives. As I gave all, that is all that I require of you. Not any more than all, but all. With all that you have, you gave me nothing. No words. No song. No notes. And I was silent. Now Mike, hands held high, continues his song, and the heavens rang.
There's a wound here in my heart where something's missing. And they tell me that it's gonna heal with time. But I know you're in a place where all your wounds have been erased. And knowing yours are healed is healing mine. The only scars in hell. I know the road you walked was anything but easy. You picked up your share of scars along the way. Oh, but now you're standing in the sun. You fought the fight and your race is run. The pain is all a million miles away. And the only scars in heaven such thing is broken, and all the old will be made new, and the thought that makes me smile now, even as the tears fall down, is that the only scars in heaven are the hands that hold you now. Hallelujah. 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 For the hands that hold you now. There's not a day goes by that I don't see you. You live on in all the better parts of me. Until I'm standing with you in the sun, I'll fight this fight and this race I'll run until I finally see what you can see. Scars in heaven, they won't belong to me and you. There'll be no such thing as broken.
I want to open with reading from Psalm 139. It's a psalm of David. He said, "You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know them full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. When I awake, I am still with you." Now, as you know, Mike was born with Down syndrome. Why? Why was Mike born with Downs? I'm sure that was a question that Mike's parents asked over and over and over again. Asked themselves, asked each other, asked the doctor, asked no one in particular. And I'm sure also asked God. And I'm sure that there are many others who wondered the same thing. Why would God allow that to happen? And you see, because the reason people would ask that why would God allow that to happen, is because, as you know, Mike's parents were missionaries. How could God allow missionaries, people who are serving him, to have a child born with Down syndrome? Because such a child would hinder their ministry. It would hinder the work God has called them to do. And because of that, the doctor that delivered Mike, and no doubt other missionaries as well, and perhaps supporting churches, encouraged Mike's parents to put him in a home so that they could continue the work of the Lord. And so they and many others asked, "God, what are you doing?" To which God said, "God, what are you doing?" To which God said, "God, what are you doing?" To which God said, "Why the silence?" Jeremiah tells us why. The secret things belong to the Lord. But Jeremiah also says the things that are revealed belong to us. So what I want to do is just share with you this afternoon what God has revealed, we'll say, to me. And I'm sure that David and Jane and Judy and Carol and others of the family can reveal to you some other things, that can tell you other things that God has revealed to them, if you will ask them, they'll share. The things revealed belong to us. Downs people do not hinder ministry. They are ministry, and they can do ministry. Mike was ministry. Mike was entrusted by God into the hands of missionary parents. And they had a choice: put Mike away or keep him. If they kept him, they could not do all the ministry that they had been doing. And the ministry that they had been doing and could continue to do, it would have to be modified. It would have to change. If they put Mike away, they could continue doing the ministry that they had been doing. They kept Mike. And in a very real sense, Mike did hinder their ministry. But in a big and an important way, Mike did not keep his parents from doing ministry. But rather, Mike brought about a change in focus. Mike's presence forced them to modify how they did ministry and exactly what they did in ministry. Because it's very easy for people, we'll say, in my position or in missionaries, to see their call and to see their focus as out there, perhaps reaching the people who don't know Christ, focusing in out there. And we can neglect those that have been entrusted into our care. But because Mike stayed with them, they understood that which could have become secondary became a primary ministry. And it was a ministry that bore lasting fruit. They loved Mike and taught Mike and helped reach Mike for Jesus. Mike was God's great gift to us. And I'll say to me, so that I could learn to love and to serve someone whom society might not value very highly. And I believe that as a church, we did that well. And I know that we received far more than we gave. Mike was ministry. Mike did ministry. Mike was a living sermon who validated the truth of Scripture. The message of the cross, Paul says, is foolishness to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. As the Scriptures say, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose the things that the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and he used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. Matthew writes, At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly I say to you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Mike was not one of the wise and the noble or the intelligent or one of the mighty. And he might be included among those whom the world counts as nothing, and also often set off to the side. But Mike came as a child to Jesus and believed in him. And in doing so, God was destroying the wisdom of the wise and the intelligence of the intelligent, and was fulfilling the words of Jesus, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do." Mike was a sermon. Mike did ministry in the way in which he lived. Mike was loved by Jesus. Therefore, Mike knew Jesus and loved Jesus. He was in church every week. And as Carol said, when he was listening to a sermon, he was taking notes. He had on one side there was God, and on another side was Satan. And he was marking every time that God won. And God always defeated Satan in every sermon. And Mike had rhythm. And he had no problem not being a Presbyterian. And he and following the injunction in Psalm 149 and 150, in which he praised the Lord with dancing. That was Mike. And when we sang the doxology, Mike's head went down and his arms went up, praising the Lord. And one of my last visits with Mike, he was lying in his bed and his eyes were closed. And he was not very responsive at all. And I asked him, "Mike, who loves you?" And his arm came up a little bit like this, and then up with his finger. And he was saying, "God loves me." Mike might not have been much in the kingdom of man, but I think he was included amongst the great in the kingdom of heaven. Because Mike loved Jesus, he served Jesus. Mike had a specific ministry in this church for over 20 years. He served God in this church, handing out bulletins. And he did it faithfully, and he did it with joy. And I was one of the chosen few who got it when he would pass it through his legs to me when I came into church. And having a man like Mike handing out bulletins and greeting people made a lot of people feel welcomed in this church. Mike did ministry. Mike loved this church, and he was not only here every week, but my understanding is when he would pass Westminster in the Ray of Sunshine's van, he would put his hand over his heart and he would insist other people in that van to do the same. loved his church. Mike was loyal to his pastor, and on more than one occasion, he had an argument with somebody else from Ray of Sunshine. Who was the greatest pastor? Charles Stanley or Carter Johnson? And Mike fought for me. And Mike was loyal to his pastor's wife. One Sunday, I was giving an illustration, telling a story, and Gail was included in that story. And Mike was concerned that maybe I was not being as nice to Gail as I could be. And he was sitting right in front of Gail, and so he was looking at me, and out came his hand to hold Gail's hand. And then after the church service is over, he handed Gail a note. It said, "God loves you, and I love you." Why was Mike born with Downs? There's so very much that we don't know. But this we know, he was born that way to the praise of God's glorious grace. Because God wanted to bless us. And bless us, Mike did. And we thank God for his good gift. David and Jane, the path you have walked these years since Doris passed have been difficult. Was there joy? Absolutely. But they were difficult. And the past 8 months have been especially difficult. More than any of us know or can imagine. But God knows. So let me read from Matthew's gospel. And this is God's word to you. Word of knowledge. Believe this. "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brethren, whatever you did for Mike, my brother, Jesus says, you did for me. Well done, faithful servant." Let me close with Psalm 139. And this, I won't be able to read it like it, but I want you to hear Mike's voice. It's the Psalm of David, but hear Mike's voice. "You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you." My friends, Mike knew and loved Jesus and is awake with Jesus. And I hope you know him and that you too will be with him. I hope you understand that by nature our sins have separated us from God. But I also hope that you know that the Lord Jesus died and paid for those sins. And it's my prayer that you have repented and embraced Jesus as your Savior. If that's true of you, or if that's not true of you, this will be your final goodbye to Mike. If you know Jesus and love Jesus, this is just, see you later, Mike. See you later, Mike. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your gift, for loving us through Mike, for preaching a good sermon, for ministering to so very many through him. When his task on this world was done, you called him home. And he got to see the Savior who loved him and gave himself for him. We thank you that we don't grieve as those who have no hope. And we thank you that there's coming a time in which there are no more goodbyes. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, who has loved us from eternity. It's a love that never fails. It's steadfast, it remains the same. And Father, I pray that all of us, whose heads are bowed at this time, will know your love and know the Savior that Mike knew. Amen. Let's stand and sing the doxology. Cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, and lift his, up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in peace. And I invite you all to come to the short graveside service right over there in the Westminster Cemetery, and you can just follow me out if you'd like to attend.